Welcome to In Faith Network Radio. Celebrate Christ with us as we go behind the scenes of Christian entertainment to reveal hidden blessings and share with the Christian community. In Faith Network Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to In Faith Network Radio. I'm your host, Sheila English, and with me is my extraordinary co-host, Anita Higman. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you, Sheila. Terrific to be here as always.
And we have a very exciting guest. I'm going to tell you just a little bit about her, and then we'll just get moving. But now, from the moment Deborah Rainey opened the cover of Tip and Mitten in the first grade, she has loved to read. After spending two happy decades as an at-home mom to two sons and two daughters, Deborah Rainey finally began working on her first book. Now, she's the author of numerous novels, which have won awards such as the Rita, the National Reader's Choice Award, the Holt Medallion, and the ACFW Carroll Award. Very impressive credentials. Welcome to the show, Deborah.
Thank you, Sheila. Thanks, Anita. It's great to be with you.
Before we get too far, I just want to make sure that our listeners know we do have the live chat session open, and you can send any questions or comments there, and or you can call into the show if you'd like to chat with us. It's 646-200-4071. Also, after the show, we write up a blog, and any links that we talk about, we'll make sure that gets in there. And you can check first thing tomorrow at infaithnetwork.com. You'll find this podcast and the associated blog with it. So make sure that you stop by. And if you are listening to this as a podcast, as many of you do, and you're not here live with us, but you realize that you have a burning question, absolutely stop by the blog, leave the question. We will be sure to get that answered for you and get your comments over to Deborah. Now, Deborah, I'd like to just dive right in and talk about your Hanover Falls series. Can you tell us about the overall series?
I can. I just finished the galleys, reading the galleys for the third book in the series, and that will come out in April. And this is a three-book series set in fictional Hanover Falls, Missouri. I like to write what I know, and we have two daughters that live in Missouri, and so I go there often and thought I could do my research that way. This is a story about firefighter families, and in particular, the first book opens with a tragedy in the firefighting community in this small town. And explores what happens when, you know, when there are spouses of heroic firefighters who are left to go on with their lives after their husbands and, in one case, wife, are killed in the line of duty. And it was just a very fascinating series to research, and just I love exploring the relationship between characters, and that's what these books are full of.
So what are readers saying about these books? What kind of fan mail are you getting?
My fan mail always varies, and it kind of depends on what people are reading for. But I'm finding that one thing, a lot of people who are from firefighter families are attracted to these books naturally. And I've been really, it's very gratifying to hear from readers who say that this really reflected their experience in being part of a firefighting family, how close those relationships are, and how when you are part of a team like that, you would give your life for the brother that's standing beside you, helping you fight that fire. And I've heard from a lot of readers who, first of all, say that it was difficult to read just because they have a loved one who is placed in that kind of danger every day. But then also that it was, you know, a good read for them because it reflected what their experience has been.
So talk a little bit about the readers, but why don't we talk a little bit about what kind of characters you write? Tell us something about the characters in this series.
Okay. Each one of the books, I've tried to write, when I write series, to write them each as a standalone novel so that if someone accidentally picks up book two, they're not going to be totally lost in reading. But I do usually in my series have some characters that carry through from one book to the next, even if they become a secondary character in the next book. One of the main characters in this book is Susan Marlowe, and you will see her real story come to life in the third book. But she is the director of a homeless shelter, and so she is kind of one of the characters who anchors the book. And I knew that I wanted to write about a homeless shelter, and that happens to be where the tragic fire takes place, that is kind of the background for each one of the three books. And so I knew that, you know, having the director of the homeless shelter would be a good character. I don't think it's any coincidence that about the time that I was ready to start researching this series, our church decided that they wanted to become part of the ministry of a homeless shelter in our area. And so I began volunteering at that homeless shelter. And I was upfront with them in the beginning. You know, I said, I'm really not doing this for altruistic reasons necessarily. I'm doing it for research. And they said, we don't care what your reasons are. We just need warm bodies here. So,
right.
I knew this would be the case, but it certainly was that, you know, God had other ideas. It wasn't just for research. I'm sure that I have gained more and learned more from my hours spent at that shelter than I have ever given to anyone. So it has been a great experience, and really, I think, just added a richness to the book that I could not have had I not experienced those things myself.
Now, I know that Anita has a whole list of questions for you, so I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic over to her for a few minutes. Anita, are you ready?
I am so ready. Okay. Now, Deb, on your website, it mentions that you grew up on a farm in Kansas, and I'm particularly interested in this because I'm a farm girl from Oklahoma. So anyway, it said you were inspired by Laura Ingalls Wilder's Little House on the Prairie series and that you first tried your hand at novel writing at the age of 12. So I'm really interested in this journey. Tell us about your writer's journey.
Okay. Well, I think that summer that I read all the Little House books back to back is the first time that I ever really made the connection between the fact, you know, that books didn't just write themselves, that books had authors. And I can still remember turning to the back of one of those books and reading the author biography, and it said something like, Laura Ingalls Wilder was a little Kansas farm girl who wrote up to tell the stories of her life. And that's the first time that it struck me, I'm a little Kansas farm girl. Maybe someday I could grow up and write a book that would give people as much pleasure and enjoyment as Laura Ingalls Wilder's books have given to me. And it was a dream that I just tucked away in my heart. I think the very night that I made that discovery, I did start writing my first novel under the covers with a flashlight because I was supposed to be in bed. It was way past bedtime. I ended up, what I wrote that night was a complete ripoff of Laura Ingalls Wilder, but I set my story maybe 100 years before the time that she was writing. And when I woke up the next morning and started reading what I had written, all excited because I was just sure I was going to be the next Laura Ingalls Wilder, and I realized that I had put airplanes in my story set in the 1700s before the Wright brothers had even been born, and I was so disgusted that I could make such a ridiculous continuity mistake that I ripped up my manuscript. And I was literally 38 years old before I ever wrote on a novel again. But when I started that mixed novel at 38, I've been making up for lost time ever since. So.
Oh, my goodness. That is a sweet story. I love that. Oh, anyway, well, moving on to your first novel, this is going to be fun to talk about. A Vow to Cherish, your first novel, deals with Alzheimer's. And since many people do know, this part is not so easy to talk about, but since so many people know of someone, a friend or relative who suffers with it, it is a topic, actually, that can be painful. So how hard was it for you to write about this particular disease?
Because no one in my family has struggled with this disease, I probably didn't have the investment of pain. Honestly, I'm not sure if a person could write this story when you're going through the pain yourself, because it is so difficult, and especially for the caregiver. Maybe even more so than the person who actually has Alzheimer's disease. But my husband and I, early in our marriage, we lived in New York, and we worked in a large Jewish nursing home, and one of the wings was for dementia patients. And that was in the day before they would actually call Alzheimer's, you know, that. At that time, they really didn't diagnose it until they did the autopsy. But looking back, now that we know so much more, the medical field has opened wide with Alzheimer's information, and we know now that we were working with many Alzheimer's patients. So that's really where I did my research. And then the idea for the book came to me when good friends of my parents, a family that we know, were struggling with this this very issue, and it was early onset. And it was just such a tragedy. And this was about the time that President Reagan had announced that he had Alzheimer's disease. And so it was really coming to the forefront. And just a lot of research, you know, went into this book. And it was difficult to write about something so devastating, and to know people who had been through that very thing in real life, not just in a novel.
Okay, well said, well said. Well, that's the hard part of my question. But now on the lighter side of my question about A Vow to Cherish, this book really did launch your career. And so the novel, let me say a little bit of what happened. In 1997, it won the Angel Award from Excellence in Media, and it's been translated into Danish, Norwegian, Swedish, and Dutch. And in 1999, this is the best part, Worldwide Pictures adapted the book into a screenplay and became a made-for-television movie and was aired in 200 major markets. Now, that is fun. Now, how in the world did that feel to have your first book out of the hopper and something so successful like that to happen to it?
It was pretty amazing. And this little Kansas girl got to go to Hollywood with her husband to the movie premiere, and it really is just one of the incredible things that has happened in my career and in my life, in fact. Pretty amazing. And I have to say, the movie, it was Billy Graham's Worldwide Pictures that mm-hmm. made the movie, and they did a wonderful job with it. And I can brag on that all I want to, because truly, other than writing the book that inspired the script, I really had very little to do with the rest of that all coming to fruition. But it really was quite an amazing experience.
I'm sure it was. Most writers, novelists just dream of that day. So I'm so glad you got to live that dream. That's great. Where did you get the idea for this story then, Deb?
Well, it really came, like I said, you know, mm-hmm. between the work that we did in the nursing home with Alzheimer's patients, and then also knowing people. And I remember one night sitting around the table. This is when I had started to feel God tapping on my shoulder and saying, it's time to write that book you wanted to write your whole life.
Uh-huh.
And not having an idea, not knowing what that book would be about. And one night when our kids were, the three older kids were probably teenagers at the time, and then our three-year-old was in bed, and we just started talking at the supper table, and we were talking about this family that we knew that had Alzheimer's, and each of our kids said, oh, that sounds like so-and-so's grandpa, and, you know, we just started talking about how that affects a family and just all the different aspects of Alzheimer's and what it means for the caregiver and all of that. And as I lay in bed that night and thought about the conversation that we'd had and how differently it affected each member of our family at the age that they were, I just all of a sudden realized that's my story. That's the story that mm-hmm. I should write. And that was sometime in December, and on New Year's Day that following year, I sat down and wrote the prologue, which is pretty much the way it appears in the book right now. I wrote every day for 5 months, and but at the end of that time, I had a good, solid first draft and started sending it out.
Great. Well, thanks for giving us some more ideas and details on that. I appreciate that. Let's move along to Summerside Press. You've got some novels coming out with them. Tell us what's cooking with Summerside.
Okay. Well, I have two books that I'm working on for them. One I have finished, and I know I will have some rewrites to do on it. For one thing, we're going to turn it into a Christmas story. It wasn't originally that, but it will. It actually, in my original first draft, culminated on Valentine's Day, and I'm going to just move it back a little bit and make it end on Christmas. So it will be one of their new books for a new series of holiday books, and it will be called Silver Bells. And I'm very excited about this book. It's set in the 70s, which some people think that's a historical, but since I grew up in the 70s, I'm going to call it a contemporary. So.
Well, you can do that. I'll let you do that. Because I grew up in the 70s,
book,
too. So.
Yes, absolutely. We got to stick together. And the other book that I am working on for them is part of their Love Finds You series. And my title is Love Finds You in Madison County, Iowa. And this is set in Winterset, Iowa, which is home to several of the bridges of Madison County that were made so famous by Robert Waller's novel. And so I'm writing a fun romantic story that is set in that area. And having a lot of fun with it. I have a lot of words to go, though, before my deadline. I think February 1st is my deadline for this one.
Well, I wish you the best. I hope you meet your deadline. I'm sure that you
Thank
will.
Thank you. Thank
in fact, you. That makes me ask you another question. We're going to get to that in just a minute about bed and breakfasts, because I think that's going to be fun to talk about. But you have empty nests now, and with the four kids, I was just wondering, back when they were all at home, how did you juggle everything? Did you have to let go of some things, or what did you do?
I let go of a lot of things. for one thing, I will say, what we had when our three oldest children were 14 and 10 and 8, I had a baby. So our family was spread far apart. By the time I started writing, the three older kids were all in school, and they were wonderful babysitters for our youngest. They just, you know, entertained her. She was, you know, probably the easiest baby that has ever been raised, because she had five parents in essence. And so that's part of the secret. And, you know, part of the secret is to not start writing until your kids are a little bit older.
Mm-hmm.
But God gave us a very easy baby as well. I mean, she took long morning and long afternoon naps. And I traded babysitting with a neighbor one day a week. And so that gave me another, you know, nice day to write. And we worked it out. I mean, but I definitely had to let some things go. Some volunteer work that I was doing in our church, and some housekeeping definitely went by the wayside. And I started, just having the Schwann man deliver frozen entrees to our house, and some of those kinds of things. You just really, I am convinced that women can have it all, but you can't have it all at the same time. And so definitely when I started writing, some things had to go, because I had been a stay-at-home mom for 20 years before this. And so it definitely changed some things when I became in essence, a career woman.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, they were good trade-offs.
Well, I know when the deadlines get really tight, I read somewhere that you went to a bed and breakfast. And
that's
so
right.
I, being a fellow writer, I think that sounds so perfect and cozy. And I wondered, did that really help you meet your deadlines then?
It absolutely did. There is something about going away where even if the phone rings, it's not your responsibility to answer it, where even if there's laundry piled up, you don't have to be the one to do it. It just really helped a lot to get away. And what I did at this time, I was on deadline with a book, and I tried it back in the day when we still had kids at home to never have a summer deadline, but for some reason, things just worked out such that I did have a summer deadline. So the kids were home. They were older, but just the coming and going with friends and all of that just really made it hard to ride at home. So I called the bed and breakfast about a mile from our house, and I said, I don't need the bed and I don't need the breakfast. I just need a quiet place to come during the daytime hours to come and ride. And they said, you know what, we don't have anyone staying here usually during the week, and certainly not during the day. You just come and make yourself at home. And I did that for about 2 weeks and got, I think I wrote 4,500 and some words one day, which is a record for me. So it definitely worked. And not only that, but while I was there, I got a wonderful idea for another little novella that I was writing called Playing by Heart, and that one actually was a Christie Award finalist. So it definitely paid off.
Well, I guess you're really glad you went to that B&B, huh?
Yes, I am, absolutely. And I've done that since then several times. So.
Well, now, I want to know which of these novels is closest to your heart. I mean, if you had to write one for free, I mean, which would it be?
I don't know that there's any that I have written that I would write for free. That's not true. Probably the first one I would, because for some reason that first novel just flowed from me. It was just the easiest thing I have ever written. And probably that's because I didn't know enough about writing to know what I didn't know. And once I started working with an editor and realized that I had a lot to learn, then writing became much more difficult. I think I'm a better writer for all of that. But probably the closest one to my heart is one called A Nest of Sparrows. And I have to say it's not closest to my heart because it was easy to write. It was probably the most difficult book I have ever written. And there was a point when I was about two-thirds finished and my research absolutely was not coming together. Every time I called someone to ask questions, it had to do with Child Protective Services. I was getting conflicting answers, and one person would contradict another, and at one point I was on my knees saying, God, I can't write this book. And at that point, I think he kind of said, you're right, you can't, so why don't you let me help? And once I turned it all over to him, the story fell into place and came together, and it's just one of my favorite books that I've ever written now.
That's a beautiful answer, Deb. I really like that. Well, you know, a lot of people have this dream, I've noticed, the dream of writing a novel and getting published. So since there's so many people out there who have this dream, what is your best advice for these folks?
Can I make it three or four things?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, first of all, I would say read, read, read. Read the kind of books that you want to write, because it's amazing how much you can absorb about good writing just by reading good writing. The next thing I would say is write. You don't learn to play the piano without practicing, so you need to, you know, get your pen and paper or get your computer or whatever you're most comfortable writing on and just write. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be anything that you ever think might get published, but you do need to practice, you know, to use those writing muscles. The next thing I would say is to get together with some other writers. I'm a part of ACFW, American Christian Fiction Writers. It is a wonderful organization that helps writers. It's an online group, but then we also have a conference every year where you get to go to workshops that are presented by editors and agents and published writers. It's just amazing once you start meeting other people who have that same passion for writing that you do. You just learn and grow so much. So those would be my top pieces of advice.
That's excellent. Those are all valuable pieces of advice. Thank you, Deb. Well, let's talk a little bit about story in general. The book industry is changing all the time now, and especially with the explosion of the e-books. And so, but really, no matter how people read, they really do, they want a well-told story. And so why do you think we have such a strong desire for stories? Why do you think they're so powerful?
Probably several ways to answer that, but I think one thing is that when we read, we want to see ourselves in the story. I think reading makes us think about our own lives and think it helps us to look to our past and to our future and see how far we've come, and then to live in the present. And I think it all comes back to the fact that God made us to be creative beings. It says we're made in his image, and he is the creator. And so I think it's not surprising at all that we have this desire within us to be creative, and part of that creativity comes out in telling stories. I think that's why Jesus taught with parables. And it just, you know, if you think about a pastor's sermon, many times we come away from church, and if someone says, what was the sermon about, we may not remember, but if the pastor told a story to illustrate his point, we remember that story. So there's power in there some way.
Absolutely true. I totally agree with that. Well, I know readers are excited about this, listeners, and they want to know where to find you online. So you just tell us all where we can find you.
Okay. My website is DeborahRaney.com. It's just my name, D-E-B-O-R-A-H is how I spell Deborah, and Rainey is R-A-N-E-Y.com. You can order my books from my website. There's lots of information about how I got started writing, and there's for any aspiring writers that might be listening, I have a little section in the sidebar for writers that has a lot of helpful links and some of my favorite books on the craft of writing and that type of thing. I love meeting my readers on Facebook, so you can find me on Facebook under Deborah Rainey. And then for those of you who like Twitter, I'm learning how to tweet. And so you can find me there at author Deborah Rainey. And I've really loved the whole social media thing has just been wonderful because A writer sits in their office all by themselves, and until our book is finished and out there, we don't get any feedback on it. Readers read our books and feel kind of like they know us, but we don't get a chance to know readers. But I think that Facebook and Twitter and those kinds of things have really, and podcasts like these as well, have really allowed us to get to have that same kind of relationship with our readers that they feel they have with us when they've read our books.
Well, that's terrific. Thank you. And I know Sheila has some more questions, too, so I'm going to give it right back to Sheila.
All right. Well, I just want to say, you know, as far as the social media, I really do love that give and take, you know, that you can have a conversation with your readers and they feel like, you know, it kind of brings that an extra level of closeness between the two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, you were talking about authors, you know, sitting by themselves and writing. Deborah, I have been to your website, which is very lovely. And with all the things that are there, I kind of got caught up reading, but then I stumbled across something pretty unique. Well, I think it's very unique. It's Deb's Studio. I love it. Oh, I
Thank
love
you.
It. You've got to tell our listeners about Deb's Studio.
I tell you, I posted a few pictures of my writing studio, my office, and it is next to my book link. It is the most popular feature on my website. So, and I really do understand that because I love getting a peek into the authors that I love. I like to see their offices and see where those books happen. So, now I have to tell you that the pictures that you looked at, my office doesn't look like that anymore because just this week my sister came and stripped the wallpaper and painted the walls for me, and I'm in the process of moving back in now, and I'm really loving this new look. So I'll have to post some more pictures soon.
Oh, you've got, yes, I would love to see that. I don't know what it is about seeing how other people live. You know, it's like, I was so captivated by that. Now I know you've got a whole new set of things that you're going to be. It's going to be a whole new look. I'm going to have to keep going over there and seeing what you're up to. I just thought it was so unique. It was really
well,
neat.
Thank you. I've had a lot of fun with it. Once I saw how interested people were, I really played that up and posted quite often. So it's been fun to share that part of my career with people.
Now, I also saw on your events calendar two things that really caught my eye. One is that you're going to be very busy next year. The other is that you're teaching an online course. Now, could you tell us a little bit about that online course?
Well, it's through ACFW, and I actually just finished teaching a course in October on the business end of writing, and it's amazing. I did not realize when I first started writing that if you have a career as a writer, you end up spending at least half of your time at work on doing things other than writing. There's just so much that I hadn't thought about, just the social media and keeping your website up to date and working with the people at your publishing house in sales and the publicist and doing interviews like this and that kind of thing. And I have to say, as an extrovert, I love all those things, but it was something that was very surprising to me about being a writer. I thought that, you know, I would spend 95% of my time writing, and that's just not the case. So anyway, the course that I taught in October talked about those things. Next year I'm going to be teaching another course, and to be honest with you, we haven't decided on the topic for sure yet, so I really can't say much to that, but I will say that I have loved the online courses at ACFW and other venues that I have either taught or taken online classes. They've really been helpful.
Well, I hear our music is going. Now, for our listeners, again, I want to give that website, www.deborahrainey.com, and check out that event schedule. See, she's pulling us back in, you guys. She's going to have a new course. She's going to have a new some new studio pictures. She knows a good hook when she hears it. Deborah, I want to thank you so much for joining us here tonight. It's just been lovely to have you.
Thank you. It has been my pleasure. I've really enjoyed it.
And thank you, Anita, for finding us such a wonderful guest, and I look forward to our next show together.
Absolutely. Thanks, Sheila.
And I want to thank our listeners for joining us here at In Faith Network Radio. And don't forget, you can find us at infaithnetwork.com. Please stop by and leave a comment about tonight's show. And if you have questions, please do come by, and we will have that blog up tomorrow. I'm Sheila English, your host, and happy reading to everyone.
In Faith Network Radio, blessings through entertainment. www.infaithnetwork.com. Come join our ever-growing Christian community.